One last stop this week in Psalm 15. Thank you, beloved brethren, church family, for journeying with me again another week through another wonderful psalm. We have been looking at a worship permit, six prerequisites and qualifications of a true worshiper, answering the question in verse 1, O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell in your holy hill in the midst of a planet full of idolaters, a world full of false worshipers bowing down to everything and everyone else? Who are this few? Who is this small remnant who have the highest honor, the greatest privilege of worshiping Almighty God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the true and living God, the only God? Who are they? Well, they're marked by these six characteristics. First, we saw in verse 2, godly character. After that, godly speech. And then loving relationships. And then right heroes. And then a loyal life, loyalty. And now, sixth and finally, godly with their money. Godly with their money. Verse 5, he does not put out his money at interest. Literally, in the original, he doesn't put out his money with a bite. Get the picture here? When someone's in need, we meet that need. We don't exploit it as a business opportunity for ourselves at their advantage, at their expense. The Old Testament law puts strict regulations on borrowing and lending money. Go to Deuteronomy 23 and 24, for example. And taking interest from fellow Israelites was strictly forbidden. I know what you're thinking. Does this mean Christians should never go into banking and there is no place for any interest rates whatsoever? That's not what Scripture teaches. Psalm 15 is probably speaking about private loans, not commercial transactions. Unless you work for an organization that is clearly oppressing and exploiting, taking advantage of the poor and preying on those who are vulnerable, which sadly does happen far too often. Look back at the text here in verse 5. He does not put out his money at interest, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. In other words, you can't be bought. You're a true worshiper. You have no price. Greed and covetousness cannot sway you. The love of money cannot trump your love for God and for others. Beloved, this principle extends to any perversion of justice. Like paying for a bribe, as we see all over this African continent. Showing partiality to the rich or famous is another common violation of this. Or refusing to bear witness in court in defending the innocent because someone bought you off at a price. No, he does not take a bribe against the innocent. And then comes a conclusion of this whole psalm, of the life of this true worshiper. He who does these things will never be shaken. Literally, he shall not be moved ever. What a perfect finale. It's what every man desires. It's what every child wants to grow up to be. It's what every Christian prays for, to be that rock, strong and stable, fixed and secure, rooted and grounded, solid and unshaken. Like Mount Zion itself, God's holy hill, back in verse 1, where the worshiper wants to dwell with his Lord. Nobody dreams of one day becoming spineless. Oh, if only I could be an unstable, fragile, and flimsy weakling someday. Of course not. None of us wants to be that house built on the sand that Jesus warns about that crumbles when the storms of life rage. No, we long to be that Psalm 1 kind of person, like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Proverbs 10, verse 30, the righteous will never be shaken, but the wicked will not dwell in the land. 1 Corinthians 15, 58, I still remember Steve Lawson preaching that one year at the end of our resolution conference. Therefore, be steadfast. Immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Look there again at the final line of Psalm 15. He who does these things will never be shaken. Once, a mother was visiting her son at university. As she entered his dorm room, her heart broke as she saw his wall covered with sensual, immodest, immoral, ungodly pinups and posters. The mother's heart was torn. She grieved, but she said nothing. The next week, the mailman delivered a large package to her son. It was a beautifully framed print with these words on it. Psalm 15, verses 1 and 2. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. What'd the boy do? The young man? Well, he hung this calligraphied scripture on the wall above his desk. But the more he looked at the verses, the more disturbed he was at the posters and all the impurity that he had displayed. The next day, he took down one pinup, then two the following day, and then all the rest of them on the third day, throwing them away. God's word is living and active, and it has a purifying, sanctifying power. Remember Psalm 119, where we began at the start of lockdown, nearly, 70 days ago now? How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. Your word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. God's word purifies and prepares us to be true worshipers. Even as we prepare now for Sunday, the Lord's Day, regathering, reuniting together as a church body, as a family. What a great psalm here, Psalm 15, for your own family and your household, or for a married couple to memorize, to recite as you drive to church, or to small group for that matter. It's kind of like a sound check for your soul. Approaching the presence of God, testing, one, two, three, testing. Am I ready? Am I prepared? Am I reverent? Am I consistent? Am I not a hypocrite? Am I, by God's grace, empowered by his Spirit? Am I sincere and prepared as a true worshiper? Isaac Watts. Who shall inhabit in thy hill, O God of holiness? Whom will the Lord admit to dwell so near his throne of grace? Father, thank you for this week, for this journey that we've had in Psalm 15. Teach us, impress it upon us deeply, shape and mold us to be true worshipers. We think of the words of Jesus to that filthy, defiled, and adulterous woman at the well. A sexual refugee with such a broken past, and yet he offered her living water. He saved her and forgave her and covered her by his grace and taught her to be a true worshiper. And Jesus said there in John 4, the Father is seeking true worshipers who will worship him in spirit and truth. Make us those true worshipers, we pray. And prepare us for this Sunday, O Lord, to regather and reunite as one great company of worshipers to give you the glory and honor due to your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.